Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. That's our website. And from there, if you go to the write-up for tonight's broadcast, you can go directly to SteveQuayle.com and directly to Skywatch TV. And Skywatch TV, of course, their special on their on Tom's book, Saboteur. Let me tell you something. It's the finest work, investigative work product I've read. And that's with respect to the topic at hand. It answers so many questions that I had. It connects a lot of dots, and that's just not to say it. It's meaningful. I cannot begin to tell you the library, well, how important it is for your library, and it adds so much depth to the subject matter at hand. Now, having said that, I also want to I want to thank both Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. There's no words that either Joe or I could use to express our thanks for not just for supporting us, but for what they do. And if you knew, they talk about what we go through. You've got no idea what they go through together and separately. But we're all in this together, as Christians. And I'm very proud to say that, and so is Joe, that we stand with Steve Quayle, we stand with Tom Horn and his wife. The sponsor of Pony, by the way, is just absolutely incredible. There's so much good that both of these men do that you know of, but there's so much that you'll never know because they're not one to tell you. So the takeaway from this is we as Christians must stand together, and we must keep forging ahead despite the dark days, the storm clouds. And we can do it. We all can do it. Before we get back to our very esteemed guests, Steve was talking about person worthy of his hire, and this is one thing that when we were expanding in our expansion phase, we needed specific talent for specific purposes. And if you own a business, small, medium, or large, and if you're in need of great talent for your business, but if you're short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. And we've got them for you. ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work. I've seen this work. It's absolutely amazing. Actively notifying quality candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. And unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter, well, they don't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. That's no wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their job site in just one day. It is absolutely amazing. You've got to try it out. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. Now here's the deal with our audience. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes in all industries just about to find the most qualified job candidate with immediate results. Right now, our listeners to the Hagmann Report can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. One more time to try for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. And again, it's our very, very esteemed privilege to bring to you the guest. Tom Horn was talking about 75% of the children being in foster families, and this is something near and dear to my heart that Tom Horn is talking about, the good that Dr. Horn and Mrs. Horn are doing, and of course the it just warms my heart, especially against the backdrop of everything that we've been seeing in the world over the last couple of weeks, couple of months. This is a shining light, this beacon in the darkness. And with that, Joe, I'm just going to toss it right back to Tom Horn, and he can continue his thought that he had before the break. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, just wanted people to know that the Hagmann report helps in so many different kinds of ways. We do deal here and you give us the opportunity to deal with some of the hardest hitting investigative journalism, stuff that people are absolutely not going to ever hear on CNN, for crying out loud, let alone on Fox News. But you also deal with these other real life, kind of tangible, down to earth things where people are making contributions, for crying out loud. They're going to listen to the Hagman Report and sponsor a pony because Stephen Quayle and Joe and Doug Hagman made this available, and know that the donation that they made to build this infrastructure is now being used to actually intervene in the life of young people who otherwise could wind up in very desperate situations. So it's absolutely the opposite of, and by the way, during the conference, we opened up Whispering Ponies Ranch. We made it available for people to come so that they could see exactly what they had invested in. And we're going to be doing that again in 2018. In fact, we're actually going to have the banquet on the grounds of the Whispering Ponies Ranch in 2018. If people want to learn more about that, they can go to skywatchtv.com, click on the thing that says sponsor a pony. Even if they don't sponsor a pony, they can read there what's going on. But all of that grew out of a great idea by my good friend Steve Quayle and my good friends Doug and Joe Hagman, who made that opportunity available so that the people out there that are listening to this program know that when they help you stay on the air, they're not just, they are keeping a beacon of information and truth available, but it's more than just that. They're also in very tangible ways providing for ministry that is standing in the gap for young people who otherwise are going to be forgotten by the industry. And I don't mean, by the way, here to be mean, but let me just say, this is going to sound terrible, but I'm going to say it. Most big-haired evangelists are not going to spend a moment of airtime advocating for these children. Why? Because they have nothing. They can't give you money. They can't give you anything. You do this because it is the fulfillment of the New Testament, where it says that pure religion and undefiled is ministering to orphans and widows. So the fact, Joe and Doug, that you guys deal with all this great big stuff, right? Big stuff, big investigative stuff, but you would actually take airtime to make people aware of a ministry that is simply standing in the gap for kids like this little girl who was the most abused girl in the history. In the history. I don't even want to know what that means, right? The most abused young girl, 10 years of age, in the history of foster care. And today, 10 years later, she is an ambassador for the Royal Family Kids Camps that we're operating here at the Whispering Ponies Ranch. So, anyway, now, Steve asked me to, and I know we've only got like 45 minutes or something. He asked me to deal with a couple of other things that came out of WikiLeaks, one of them being contiguous aliens, and also the whole idea behind the Great Champion and the Fourth Turning. I don't think we're going to have time to deal with all this, but let me just jump in and we'll go as far as we can. In November and December of this year, so starting literally later this month, in a week and a half from this broadcast, and then going until the middle of December at SkyWatchTV.com, we're going to broadcast 5 weeks of special investigative reports involving what, for me, started over a decade ago with Steve Quayle, but was reflected most recently in the WikiLeaks, having to do with contiguous aliens. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, approximately 10 years ago, some of you will recall this. I released it was actually a very poorly written book because I never intended it to be a book, but a book called Nephilim Stargate. I had written an online series under that name. My editor thought it should be turned into a book. It's a long story. she took the online series, didn't even edit it, put it in the form of a book and stuck it out there. I didn't read it for 6 months because I was moving from Oregon to Missouri. When I finally did read it, I said, oh my gosh, it's awful. And yet, it's gotten really high reviews, and people have bought it forever. Why? Because it began in a kind of spinoff of a series of shows that I was doing with Steve Quayle a decade ago. Are you there, Steve?
I am here, Tom, and it's still amazing when I look back. I go, where did the decade go? But the point is that was the most, in my opinion, that was a turning point book that basically opened up. And I believe that when you had that revelation, it was God's time to reveal it, because I can tell you point blank, I live in that world of that type of information, but stargates and portals. But when you opened the key to everyone, I think then everyone was brought into that point. And by the way, they couldn't have received it, in my opinion, most likely, unless Hollywood had even prepared the way for you.
Yeah, so, okay, so I just wanted to make sure you were there, because as I'm talking about this, I want you to be my affidavit on all this, right? It was a decade at least, it might have been more than that ago, you and me started doing a bunch of programs. Based on those programs, I decided to write this online series. Now, people need to keep in mind, this was kind of early in the Internet. There was no iPhones. There was none of that stuff back when we were doing this. So it was kind of just a really early kind of Internet thing. And so I started posting the results of some of these shows on the Internet. And then I got invited out of the blue, J.R. Church, who I had known for some time, and Gary Stearman, they invite me. They ask me to come over and do some Prophecy in the News broadcast on the very same subject, in which we were discussing, me, Steve Quayle, and then later J.R. Church before he died of cancer. We were talking about this idea of portals, doorways, openings, a concept that's actually a really ancient one, that gateways between our world and other dimensions exist, or that can be created, through which entities can pass from some other reality into this reality. And so that was really just kind of the general discussion. And at one point, a series of the programs, we started talking about Aleister Crowley, and how Aleister Crowley and then Jet Propulsion Laboratory founder Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, the Church of Scientology founder, had tried to open portals. And the discussion between me and Steve, and then later between me and J.R. Church and Gary Stearman, we talked about how in 1918, now you'll see in just a second what this has to do with the more modern WikiLeaks releases, what it has to do with that. 1918, so you have a famed occultist by the name of Aleister Crowley. He's literally like a CIA agent and all these other things. He was attempting to create a dimensional vortex that would bridge a gap between the world of the seen and the unseen, and his ritual was called the Amalantra working. And according to Crowley, it was successful when a presence came through this rift that he was trying to open through sex magic rituals. He called the being that came through the rift Lamb, if you want to believe that it happened. He called it Lamb. He drew a portrait of it. And that image, which was detailed over 90 years ago now, has a very powerful similarity with alien grays of today's pop culture. Now, fast forward. L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons, they went on to attempt the same kind of portal opening magic, but they didn't want to bring through Lamb that Crowley had brought through, according to his testimony. They were wanting to invite the spirit of Babylon, the archetype divine feminine, the whore of Babylon, And they called their magical working the Babylon. They spelled it B-A-B-A-L-O-N, if you want to Google that. The Babylon working. But they incorporated a lot of the same stuff, sex, magic, rituals, and so on. And their hope was to incarnate this whore of Babylon, this demon child, this Gibborim, into the embryo of an American female child. And Parsons wrote that the ritual was successive. He wrote this in his bio. And that at one point, this brownish-yellow light came through a doorway that they had opened. And at the same moment, he said he was struck by something invisible, which knocked him sideways. A candle was knocked out of his hand. All this phenomenon, he said, happened. Now, it's interesting that following Crowley's magic portal, which produced the alien-looking lamb, and Hubbard and Parsons' Babylon working ritual, that Crowley died in 1947, the same year as the Roswell crash, and the same year that Kenneth Arnold, who was a friend of Parsons, by the way, a lot of people don't know that, he saw his flying saucers and his sightings of aliens and so on, which increased around the world. Now, there's something else here that I want to just put out there, and I talk about it in the new book, Saboteurs, and we're going to have to wait to see what happens. But Parsons and Hubbard's Babylon working explicitly stated the goal of transforming traditional American values and using very high dark ritual magic the hope of incarnating the archetype divine feminine to change the culture of America through the influence of this spirit. And it was a matter of record that feminism was sowed into public consciousness from the ivy towers of academia shortly subsequent to Jack Parsons' dark invocations that was carried out in 1946. So why am I bringing all this up? The Babylon working, the whole purpose behind it was to give birth to a magical being, a moon child, as Crowley described it in his work, using the energy of the ninth degree sex magic from the Liber Alvi Legis, I think it was called, the Book of the Law, from which the spirit dinners, by the way, of occultism that are referred to in the Wikipedia link are derived. Those rites were intended to open a doorway through which the godless Babylon herself might be conceived in human form. Parsons believed that he and Hubbard accomplished that task in 1946. In fact, like I say, if you read his biography, he's got a whole celebratory statement in there regarding her embodiment in a child somewhere. In the United States, he writes that in a fragment of his writings in which he said that Babylon, I'll quote it here, in a manner like that of the Immaculate Conception, was due to be born in a woman somewhere on earth in 9 months' time. Babylon is incarnate on the earth today, awaiting the proper hour of her manifestation, end quote. So if you put any stock at all in what he had to say, and I would certainly understand if people don't, but that might not have anything to do with what the people around Hillary Clinton might have believed. Because if his magic was to be believed, then one would expect that a female child would have been born in 1947 that would later rise to international prominence, that would be an outspoken feminist, and who would have the political clout to influence or even guide the nations of the world. And indeed, an influential feminist was born in 1947 that offers the most promise, in my opinion, for identifying the fruit of Parsons' infamous ritual, and that is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, fast forward a year later, and in 1948, Parsons writes another book called The Book of the Antichrist. And in that book, he claims that the spirit of this female child came to him in a vision and said to him, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm 1 year old now, I'm doing well, I'm healthy, and I'm going to grow up and help to promote the entire feminist aspiration across America, blah, 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 but I'm going to help the Antichrist come to power. Now, what's interesting about the book of Antichrist, which he wrote in 1948, is in one line in that book, this spirit, he said, now keep in mind, he wrote this 69 years ago. He said, the spirit of this child identified herself to me by name. She said, my name is Hilarion. And of course, that is the archaic Hillary. That's where the name, the female version of the male Hilarion comes from, Hillary. And so in the book Saboteurs, I go into all of the details around all of this magic and all the stuff that was being said. And I challenge people, actually, to give me the mathematical probabilities that somebody born in 1947 named Hillary would grow up to become an internationally known feminist who would have the potential to influence the future presidency of the United States of America, either by becoming the president or the vice president, or even just having an influence on the party that would give rise to that individual. This could be Bernie Sanders, a socialist, for all I know. And think of that when you read the book Saboteurs. Think of that in light of what we are learning now about the entire Clinton family dominant over the Democratic Party and how they took control of it to influence who could eventually become the next president of the United States of America. And then reflect upon that, how God himself may have stepped in, stopped the plans of the occultists, and is giving America today a chance to maybe make a difference in the future of this country. So, now, what does that have to do with the contiguous aliens? Several years after the programs I did with Steve Quayle and the Prophecy in the News shows aired, there was a book that came out by Nick Redfern, who I've interviewed him. I interviewed him. We published our interview with him in the book Expo Vaticana. I've talked to him on the phone since then. He wrote a book called Final Event that was released, and it repeated the same basic outline of the interviews that I had done with Steve Quayle earlier than the release of his book. But this time around, the theory reportedly had the backing, the theory that gates of other dimensions can be opened. It had the backing of a secret government group that had been commissioned to get to the bottom of the UFO phenomenon, and that ultimately concluded that what Steve Quayle and I had been talking about was true, that the mysterious manifestation of entities coming through these doorways are demonic. That's what the Collins elite determined. These are demonic, not from another world, not from Zeta Articuli, not flying here in a UFO. These are from another dimension. They are demonic, and they are directly connected to Parsons and Company and their Babylon working. Now, according to Redfern, this group is an interdisciplinary group inside the United States government that are called the Collins Elite. Now, I have to tell you, because when his book came out, I read it, I was really skeptical of the Final Events book. I just sensed that, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody in particular, but I sensed that somebody somewhere had simply taken what me and Steve Quayle had been talking about for 2 to 3 years beforehand, and had extrapolated it into a full-blown fabrication. But to give him the benefit of the doubt, I contacted Nick Redfern and in turn interviewed him for Exovedicana. He contacted the CE, the Collins Elite, for me to set up a meeting. He also provided documentation for the book Exovedicana involving how he got together with them and all that. I agreed to meet with a member of the Collins Elite anywhere, anytime, and still have. That's why I called him here just a little while ago. Actually, in the lead-up to me and Steve Quayle's work on unearthing the lost world of the Cloud Eaters, I called him and said, I would even pay you a reward to put me in contact with a member of the Collins Elite. And I was told that that could happen soon. And in fact, the other day he told me, it can still happen. They may contact you at any moment. But as of this date, I'm still waiting. Now, in addition to my discussions with Nick Redfern, I made really significant efforts to verify his story concerning the Collins Elite. And I reached out. Some of you know that I have contacts inside the United States government. I have contacts in U.S. military intelligence, in national defense department, inside the Department of Defense, inside the Intel top secret security clearances. And at first, everybody that I reached out to came back empty-handed. And that, by the way, that included Colonel Steve Bauer, who served longer as a United States government military aide than anybody in the history of the White House under five United States presidents, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and Bush. And Bauer told me he had never heard of the Collins Elite and couldn't locate a single intelligence resource that otherwise would substantiate Redfern's claim. He believed that this had simply been picked up from conversations that me and Steve Quayle had been making over a decade earlier, and somebody made a full-blown fabrication out of it. But I knew, having said that, that it didn't mean Redfern's story was untrue, because counterintelligence, majestic 12-level compartmentalization, official denial, these are all really well-established parts of the government's past and present protocols when handling questions concerning things like UFOs and contiguous aliens that are inside the WikiLeaks scandal, alien abduction activity, that kind of thing. A fact that really every significant investigator into the phenomenon has run into whenever trying to separate fact from fiction. So I knew that was true, so I moved on. I checked with a former director of Britain's Military of Defense Department's UFO research, Nick Pope. Many of you have heard of Nick. Nick's been an acquaintance of mine for a while. I've interviewed him numerous times. But I was surprised what Nick told me. He cautioned against disbelief and even confirmed some of the elements of the Collins Elite-like group there, he said, in Britain's aristocracy. And then after that, I reached out to Gregory Richford, who's a Ball Aerospace contact that works with advanced systems and technology for space control and special missions inside Ball Aerospace, that has gigantic contracts with U.S. government and NASA. And he, too, cautioned against doubting the Collins reality. And he actually sent me a four-page document outlining the main points of how the Collins protocols, if you will, work. And then he ended it with this ominous warning to me that dangers exist and that I need to be really careful, something that another contact also told me not long ago, that I need to be really careful about what I divulge and what I say. In the book, Saboteurs, we make as many references as we need to the inferences inside the WikiLeaks scandals having to do with contiguous aliens. But here's something that I want people to know. There was a very key ancient text, and this according to Nick Redfern and his sources, the Collins Elite and everybody else, a key text that led the Collins Elite, this interdisciplinary, highly secretive group inside the United States government, to decipher that what we call alien abduction is actually an activity of demonism. There was a key text. Guess where it came from? It came from a work that's been out of print for over 100 years, and it is called The Devils and Evil Spirits of Babylonia. Now, when I found out about that, and I also found out the key to their understanding of what's going on in so-called alien abduction phenomenon was a work called Fallen Angels and the Heroes of Mythology, I sent out my crew to find the original manuscripts. Guess what we did? We put both of these works that have been out of print for over 100 years, The Devils and Evil Spirits of Babylonia, that has the actual Babylonian sorceress incantations, if you will, that caused the Collins elite to believe that we were talking here in abduction about demonological phenomenon comparable to what the Bible describes and to what Tom Horn and Steve Quo were talking about over 10 years ago. That convinced them of that. We found the manuscripts for The Devils and Evil Spirits of Babylonia and The Fallen Angels and Heroes of Mythology, and I commissioned having both of those works put back into print in the English language in hardback, oversized, large, hardback collector's edition volumes. And right now, when people go to skywatchtv.com, and they buy the book Saboteurs, actually buy the Saboteurs collection, which has the three books, Saboteurs, The Deeper State by Colonel McGinnis, and Gods and Thrones by Carl Gallup, all for less money than Amazon sells them for. We're giving away $130 worth of stuff over there, which includes the two hardback collector's editions of these two volumes. It also includes a DVD called Off the Record that has all these interviews with different people talking about I probably shouldn't give up too much about that, but the occultism in Washington, D.C. It also has an audio collection there called Shadow Hand, which is over 20 hours of the best of the material that Steve Quayle and I have recorded for more than a decade. If people are interested in the book Saboteurs, go to skywatchtv.com, click on that. But if for no other reason, you need to get this collection, because we are not giving those two hardback books that the Collins Elite identified. We're not selling those on Amazon. We're not anything. They're only available in that collection, and they are literally a must-have part of any serious student of scholarly research. Their library, they got to have it. So anyway,
I'm amazed, by the way, I'm amazed that those two books, which I only heard of the one, but not the other. I'm amazed that you were able to do this in actual hard copy. This is amazing. The Devils and Evil Spirits of Babylonia is what I heard. The Fallen Angels and the Heroes of Mythology, I did not. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So now, by the way, the people in the warehouse hate me when I do this. because I make this stuff up on the cuff, and then they have to live with it. If people are listening to this program, if you go there and you click on that ad, you're going to already see that you got to get this. But if when checking out in the comments section, just type in, I heard you on Hagman. And I'll send the email after the program tonight. I'm going to tell the people in the warehouse that I want them to send. I want to just have them add a bunch of stuff. A collection of the best of interviews between me, Steve, beyond, in other words. What you're going to see in that ad, the best of Skywatch Television 2017 programs that we did, some of which were never even broadcast. But I'm going to tell them to add that, throw in some other books and stuff. it'll wind up being like a couple of $100 worth of free stuff. But just when you go there, tell them I heard you on Hagman, and then they're gonna put the extra stuff in there. In addition to the $130 worth of free stuff that they're already adding to the Saboteurs collection.
It's amazing.
Well,
I think,
Doug, one of the things, too, when we tell you this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful proverb. It says, it is within the heart of a king to search out a matter. Both Tom and I, in our combined years of doing this, I mean, we got a lot of years under our belt. But what we're trying to do is give, and I mean this, I told everybody, there, you know, Tom, you've seen The Promise, too, in some of the pseudepigraphal works that talks about children will grow up so fast that children will become learned in a short matter of time. I'm telling you, I'm seeing that, Doug, in my email. There are mothers and fathers sending me emails about their kids coming to them and explaining to them what Jesus told them. Now, I don't care who believes them. I don't care whether the people that are cynic, scornful, and, you know, it's amazing how many of those people listen to us. But the point is that there's being an acceleration mode. And it's my heart's desire and Tom's heart's desire to get everyone to the point where, look, you can benefit by basically and I believe this. I believe the parable of the different people that came to work at the different times during the day in the, you know, for the master, they were paid the same thing. I believe that applies to knowledge. So for those of you who think that, you know, oh, these guys got decades under their belt and they've done this research, blah, 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 God will bring you up to speed faster than you can even imagine, and you will not come behind in any good thing, because the promise is the knowledge of the living God is going to fill the whole land. Now, I understand that there's some people that don't believe in the millennium. There are others that do. I happen to believe in the literal millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I know there are people out there that are making all kinds of claims, but here's the deal. The Lord's Word, the Bible says, call unto me, meaning God's challenge to you and to me and all of us, and I will show you great and mighty things you know not of. And so that's what we're trying to do, Doug, and we want to thank you again for allowing us to do that. Now, one of the things, too, Tom, I just sent you, by the way, it's in your inbox, or it should be. The thing is that the story of the aviary, okay? And have you done much investigation of that?
Well, yeah, I'm not connected to the Internet, so I can't read the article you sent.
Okay, yeah, but when you do, and basically it's a group of PhDs. It would almost be like Majestic, and then Majestic, according to, I absolutely can only tell you, I knew the head of the Magi, which was the offshoot of Majestic 12. The magicians are the bad guys. Majestic. So there's been a war in the world of Majestic 12, and again, everybody's vying for power, everybody's vying for control of the world. It's kind of like that song, Tears for Fears, everybody wants to rule the world. But I would encourage people to look up the aviary, okay? Because the aviary is a group of people very similar to the Collins elite, and there's a list of different people that are believed to be there. But what's most interesting is these are the who's who, you know, of both military and the scientific community. Obviously, people like SciTech, the company. There's a marvelous article, and I'll post it on my website so people can see it. But the gist of it is, Doug, just because someone says, I don't believe that stuff, I want to share something for those of you, and this is critical that you hear this, everybody. The word conspiracy theory was introduced by the CIA in order to offset all revelations of truth. Remember, if you can, Saul Alinsky's principle, you can isolate people, you can denigrate, you can mock, you can ridicule, scorn, and pretty soon the people that put up with it, they just basically either give up or they get killed by the grace of God. We're still alive by the grace of God. All three of us, Tom, Doug, me, and others who are listening into this program. The point of being, and what I'm trying to be as clear as I can be, is the groups, the secret ones, at the end of a day, and here's where I'll take everybody to the bottom line. that goes back to the Egyptian priesthood that was given the secret knowledge from the Sumerians, whose own Table of Kings goes back a quarter of a million years prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. The idea is that the Sumerians could have such advanced mathematics, advanced acknowledgments of astronomy, and oh, by the way, they did portray planets as circular, and there was no NASA in those days, or NASA. There was no, holographic projections in those days. So as we take a look at this priesthood, it was just like in, and we're seeing even now today, you've probably seen the story that they claim that Nan Madal in the South Pacific, may have been Atlantis. Well, it wasn't Atlantis, but it could have been Lemuria or Mu. And then New Zealand is called Zealandia, the lost continents, and they're rising. So just because somebody says, well, I don't believe this stuff, when people send me, or I read, what people say, you're a fear monger. You're guilty of pornography or fear porn. The point is, I tell people, you don't get it. Go back and look what the former director of the CIA said. You'll know that we have succeeded when the American people, everything they believe is a lie. I believe God is stripping off the veneer of lies, showing you the depths of Satan, everyone, showing you who is the control force, the controlling evil spirit behind the politics, behind the quote-unquote religion of the day, behind the efforts to welcome the aliens in. Tom has done so many shows with me and people on different radio shows, television shows about Exo Vaticana. The whole idea is simply this. We're trying to diffuse, and I guess this is the bottom line and a good way to say this, we're trying to diffuse the greatest deception that Jesus said, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Yet for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So the point in us coming on with Doug, the times we come on, or Tom's on Skywatch, or Jim Baker's show, or where I end up, do you understand we're trying to add precept to precept? We're trying to give you information. There are times, Tom, unfortunately, I've had this speaking code. There are people around the world that listen to that code and have gone on the basis of that code. They're not planning anything nefarious, but they know what certain code words mean, and I'm not talking about just your average listener. The point being is that the idea that when the revelation comes and the aliens are brought forth, and you find out that just like the mad comic book, the famous one I remember, is Santa Claus, he's taken off a Santa suit and Satan. When God reveals and strips away all of the alluring, shiny, if you will, what I would call gingerbread, the trappings, and you see evil for what it truly is. Now look, I wish, and I do, I pray we would have never had to know good and evil, but unfortunately we do, and we have to understand that the power of God is going to be manifest to overcome, to those who believe and receive, not deny and whine and cry, but the point is that this is why so much of what we do, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to everybody tonight, is to get you to understand what's really going on. I just wanted to make that statement because, again, the aviary, the aquarium, and eschatology, that's kind of an interesting bit of, and you all need to pray. Look, I don't know that everything that everybody says about the Collins Elite or the aviary is true. I can only tell you this, in the past when I've talked about the aviary, my computer's gone down. When I used to talk about it on WWCR, they do detune the antenna. They'd try and fry me through the computer, literally. And so, here's the deal. I don't know any other way to say this, Tom. The offer that Tom is making you for all the publications, especially Saboteurs, in my opinion, lays it out so plain for you to see politics. Politics is a bunch of horse manure and not pony poop, okay? We're talking serious horse manure. Thought you'd appreciate that one. You know, serious horse manure, and they're trying to get you to see it as, you know, a cornucopia of a utopian future. Wrong. It is hell unleashed. Wrong. And I want to share something. I'm going to be, how do I say this, concentrating on something I said 10 years ago, Doug, that no one believed. And when I say this, you've openly said you didn't believe it, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that when I started talking about demon possession of machines, I was talking about spiritual sentient evil residing in machines. Well, people can't even deal with that. Then you go read about Talos, T-A-L-O-S, who was 100 feet tall, and he was the first robot, 400 B.C., So, ladies and gentlemen, the idea of Sir Francis Bacon's New Atlantis, the idea of the secret societies, and I've always said this, it's the Egyptian priesthood. I'm not talking about the Egyptian priests that you would be familiar with. I'm talking about the ones that have an auxiliary, Library of Alexandria, that didn't sink beneath the seas, and the hidden knowledge. That word occult means to hide or to occlude. The hidden knowledge which they have brought humanity and the human beings under subjection, destruction, all the horrific things they do to people. God is blowing the lid on it. But your position isn't to marvel in the information. Your position is to get right with Jesus. Because I love what Pastor Langford said, Tom. He said, God isn't far. God never turns his face away from us. He loves his creation. But we choose to turn our face away from him and walk away from him. So the point is, I'm asking everybody tonight that's walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking everybody tonight that thinks that, like I said, that all this stuff is crazy, to at least say, even if you're an atheist or an agnostic, God, if you're out there in this stuff, reveal it to me. And I can tell you this, an honest atheist I have more respect for than a guy with puffed up hair saying this, I'll give you 777 blessings. You just lay your hands on the television set. Don't lay your hands on the television set before you put them in your pockets, brothers and sisters. I want you to wave at the Lord, what they should say. Throw it up in the air. Whatever God wants, he keeps. Whatever falls to the ground, you keep. You know, or actually, no, send it to me. So the point is that what has passed itself off as, quote, Christianity has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. And the thing is, I remember what Derek Prince said, Tom, the problem with Christians is they don't take their faith as serious as Islam, and that's why Islam is winning.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, we're going to be running some articles at Sky Watch Television this week in which we're quoting theologians. And they're admitting now, they're saying that the biggest danger to the advancement of Christianity in the West is not radical Islam. The biggest danger to the advancement of the gospel in the West are institutionalized American Christians. Isn't that astonishing?
Boy, is that true. That is astonishing. And again, ladies and gentlemen, with the rising of the real will come the persecution of the false. In other words, by the false, not of the false, by the false. I would say this. If I were to tell you one of the most important books that Tom Horn has ever written that I love, by the way, Tom, obviously I'm just talking in the context now, Blood on the Altar is an absolutely critical read. I got an email, what I call a soggy piece of toast, dipped, you know, someone telling me, well, we just have got to get together and be united and somehow everything will be fine. You know, I think I put it on the radio that if we just had flash mobs praying up and singing tunes, okay, so we get flash kumbaya instead of, you know, it only takes a fire to keep a spark to keep a fire burning. You know, Tom, when I first got saved, that thing literally gagged me. You know, that's how it is with God's love. That's not how it is with God's love. So stupid songs have stupid effects. But the point being is that people have got to recognize that whether they want to or not, they are in the battle. battle for their eternal souls. And literally, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of peace, and you're going to have to basically make the effort, make a minor movement towards God and in repentance, and see how God moves in your life. And people came up to Pastor Langford after Branson. They came up to me. There was such a, you would have to say this is probably even remarkable to you, being an old, when I say old, a former, you're not old, a former, I almost tripped there. By the way, people, just so you know, I'm older than Tom. And so when I tell him, I tease him, I say, Tom, you'll always be younger than me. You know what that means? I'll always be older than you. But the point is that he came up to us and thanked us with tears in their eyes. And we look at each other and we just go, wow. I think that was the joy of sitting out there and signing books for people and, you know, allowing, just I would say this, allowing people to share. And, you know, things are going to change, you know, when we do what we're planning differently, things are going to change. And we want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, all of you who are there, we love you. Thank you for live streaming. Thank you for the videos. And the videos are available only now after, I think, Friday. They'll only be available from my website, stevequayle.com. You can click on the banner. It'll take you to the order page. We have them in stock. Thank you for being patient, everyone, for waiting for them. That was, you know, the delay was not anticipated, but everything that can go wrong does go wrong, especially when you're looking at a breakthrough that God gave us. So, you know, Doug, I wanted to thank you for being there, and I wanted to, finally, I got to meet Renee, and again, what a helpmate, what a lovely lady. And, you know, the neat thing is, you guys, there is a true fellowship that comes in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and what some people, those of us raised up in the Assembly of God days, would call in the anointing, and that's what breaks the chains. So, you know, Tom, I think your offers are amazing, but I want everybody to get Blood on the Altar, Skywatch TV. Go and order that book. You're going to see it play out before your eyes. You're going to see wishy-washy pastors totally sell out Jesus, and they will become your enemy. It's interesting. They don't have the cojones to stand up for Jesus, but they'll sure have the mini cojones to basically stand up with the persecutors against the true followers of Jesus. And like I said this, Tom, and I got to reiterate this because I just feel impressed to. The technology of the beast is one thing, and you should be aware of it. But more importantly, you should be prayerfully asking God to help you stand in that day, because now it's not a thing in the future like when Willard Cantillon wrote the book The Day of the Dollar Dies, or Mary Ralphie, I'm talking almost 40 years ago, When Your Money Fails. Now we're watching it in a techno sales approach, that everything's going to be cool when everything you think, do, and say is in your electronic stencil, your hand passed over today. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and Steve, this is one of the things, and actually, you know, we're here today to talk about saboteurs, and I've told people already about the big giveaway with saboteurs, and they do need to get that. They really need to get it, get those hardback books, especially with it being the Christmas season and people want to give gifts to, you know, serious students of history and biblical archaeology. You have to have those hardback books. You just got to have them. But you mentioned a book, and here's the interesting thing. I mean, when I wrote Blood on the Altar, this was just like one of those in-between books, you know, just something I did. I felt compelled to do it. We didn't put any big program around it. We didn't do a bunch of programs. We didn't anything. But I wrote the book because I understood that for both myself and also other students of prophecy, there is a prelude in the New Testament. According to the Bible, there is a prelude in history wherein true believers are not only going to be beheaded, Revelation 24, beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God and for not worshiping the image of the beast, neither his image, neither receiving the mark on their forehead or in their hands. But when discussing that same end-time scenario, in particular, there is a subject of very rigorous persecution that unfolds on the earth in these end times. And it's mostly overlooked by most of the, you know, so-called prophecy circles and blogs and whatever, in which Christians themselves are going to be shaped to war against the true body of Christ. Now think of how astonishing that is. Even the concept of a coming war between Christian versus Christian, at first it just seems beyond credulity, and that's what this book is about. If it weren't for the inspired texts themselves, in which Jesus says, a time is coming when whosoever kills you is going to think that they are doing God a service. And in Matthew 24, where he tells his disciples, they are going to deliver you up to be afflicted, and they're going to kill you. And you're going to be hated of all groups of people for my name's sake. And many are going to be offended. They're going to betray one another. They're going to hate one another. Many false prophets are going to arise. They're going to deceive many. And iniquity is going to abound. The love of many is going to wax cold. So people can read all about that. You know, Matthew 24, 9 through 12, I think. And then elsewhere in the Bible, it describes this coming era of great tribulation as when the Antichrist is going to have power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It's too bad we didn't have time tonight, because I know we're out of time now, to talk about why the not the Vatican officially, but officials from the Vatican, and very highly placed guardians of doctrine at the Vatican, are now saying that Pope Francis is, get this, is the false prophet of end times fame, and that he is putting together what they, and this is not my words, this is their words, a satanic agenda. And it literally sounds like the fulfillment of the prophecies of Malachi, Mark. And I'm looking at the clock, and I know we're out of time.
Yes,
that,
the
whole point about the book, Blood on the Altar, has to do with this fact that in the end times, it's literally going to be so-called Christians with parentheses against Christians. And that's what we're seeing unfolding now.
A symbiosis between Blood on the Altar and Saboteurs, I must say, in my review reading of both. And, of course, all of Steve Quayle's works as well, The Unveiling of Information Once Hidden. Gentlemen, we cannot thank you enough.
Doug,
yes, sir. Yes,
let
sir.
Me just say one thing, too. All True Legends DVDs, all three of them, are available on my website for $50. We want to get them into everybody's hands because True Legends 4 is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's really critical, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3 are available for $50. And then number 4, we're working on it. And Tom and I will be revealing some pretty amazing stuff we're doing in the background. So we'll tickle ears with...
I want to hear more about the secret project, you guys. Come on, man. Read me in. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
Well, Don, thank you for letting us come on tonight.
You will hear all about it very soon. I've already asked Steve if him and Timothy can come to Skywatch Television. We'll be broadcasting hopefully in January. It's big, folks. It's big. You got to keep your eyes on this, I'm telling you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. Two men of God, and I don't know what else to say except God bless both of you, your families. May God keep both of you safe. Thanks for being friends and brothers in Christ. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Bye-bye.
God bless you, Tom.
That'll do it, folks. Until tomorrow. By the way, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern, Doug Hagman Radio Show. 2 to 3, John and Joe. And then, of course, our flagship show, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and, of course, YouTube Live. May God bless each and every one of you. We hope you've been enriched by this broadcast. And, again, thank you, Tech Eric, Jackie, John, and everyone for a great job. Well done.